Jabba the Butt.
Like 5
Jabba
years
the Butt. That's a good one.
Jabba the Butt.
Jabba the Butt.
You are the Jabba Butt.
Jabba.
Hey, welcome to Same Old Hope, a Star Wars podcast where we count down to episode 9 by celebrating one theatrical release each month. This month, we're celebrating Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, and we are 3 months out from Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. I am Jared, and with me today are...
Kat.
Shinmo.
And I am drunk.
I'm drunk junior.
That's what DJ stands for.
Oh, wow.
That's real good.
We are drinking...
I'm tanked Champa.
Tanked Champa. Oh, I like it. Good Star Wars pun.
Yeah, right.
Our favorite character, tanked. We are drinking Yub Nubs, which is a cocktail that DJ and I had for the first time at Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland, California last month.
And they are delicious.
They're wonderful.
I feel like you shouldn't say you are drinking. You guys have been drinking.
Yes.
We DoorDashed some Taco Bell.
It's not an either-or situation. Both are true.
Yeah, both true. We were and is...
Continue.
Are.
We drinking. Were and is are.
As they say.
Are wars.
But we are drinking a Yub Nub, like a rum punch cocktail that we had at the cantina at Galaxy's Edge last month.
Yep, and we are drinking them from our tiki mugs from Galaxy's Edge.
Cool yes. cups.
Those of you that have them.
Yes. First editions, baby.
Kat and I just have like bootleg tiki mugs. Hers is from Kowloon's. Shout out to Kowloon's in
local
Danvers.
Ref.
Yeah, local ref.
Saugus.
Route 1.
Here in Massachusetts. Yeah.
I definitely stole it.
I don't know where mine is from. I think I just bought mine. At a store.
Here's a Dixie cup that you used a Sharpie to draw Star Wars.
Yeah. I just drew a tiki face on my Solo cup. It's a Han Solo cup, though.
Your glasses are awesome, though. They're like Endor themed tiki glasses.
Did we talk about how there was a promotional tie-in with red Solo cups for the Solo movie?
Yeah, he was on the bag.
It's awesome. Do we want to talk about Galaxy's Edge a little bit before we dive into the movie?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what do you want to know, Jared?
What was it like, Deej?
I can put it into words. Next.
Well, there's that.
I can't envision a scenario where this works on an audio medium.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't
truly
explain
has
it.
To be seen to be believed. Yeah. DJ and I were there last month, and I mean, everything's on the freaking internet about it. Google it. It's great. Everyone says it's great.
Didn't you?
It's wonderful.
I'm pretty sure you said it was a religious experience.
So I built a lightsaber. I paid like a lot of money to build a lightsaber.
Jumping way ahead. Hang on one second.
Go ahead,
we were walking from Disneyland into Galaxy's Edge, and before we even see anything, Jared starts like giving us the tour of what's going on, and there's almost nothing. He's like pointing over there. He's like, "Oh, that's like the board where you can like stand by and like take pictures of."
It was a Rebel outpost.
Yeah,
lights up at night.
But like, there was nothing going on yet, and he's already like, "Oh man, you got like this is what this is, and that's what that is." And
it would
like,
take so little to make me like ecstatic in this place, and they knocked
so
out of the park.
Yeah, it was awesome for me as like a mild Star Wars fan, but like it was even more awesome to see Jared just fucking come in his pants.
He saw it all. Yeah.
It seems like it has the same level as like Harry Potter World at Universal.
I was saying that week we were there, I was like, this makes Harry Potter World look like the Harry Potter aisle at Kmart. Yeah.
Especially the Harry Potter World in LA.
California.
I haven't seen that one. And that's very hyperbolic. Like, Harry Potter World's great, but Disney did one up them with Star Wars World.
I can't wait to go.
I've never seen the Harry Potter aisle at Kmart, but if it's in like any other aisle
in Kmart,
it's empty.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Stuff on the floor.
But it was incredible. We ate a lot of really cool, unique food there. I built a lightsaber, and that's what was like an incredible experience.
The best part.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Probably. It was one of the most, I don't know, one of the most, I was emotional during it. There was like music and these actors that were, it's part of a story. It's really cool.
Is it too personal to ask how much it was?
I'm embarrassed about it, but I will say it. It's okay.
I'm going to do it no matter what.
Yeah,
so.
It's the most money I've ever spent on something that I don't care as much about.
Wait, did you build one too?
No, I didn't. No. Oh. But I'm talking about in general. I spent more than a Disney like ticket.
Yeah, everything there, like, there's so many food and snacks and drinks that are, like, worth trying to experience, so money goes quickly. But to build a lightsaber, it's, like, $200.
Well, I feel like that's pretty fair, because that's, yeah. like, if you want to buy...
$200 for, like, a pre-made lightsaber.
Yeah, an FX lightsaber.
Yeah,
those are usually, like, $150 or something. Or
yeah, I feel like that's fair for that ballpark.
And they sell similar ones like that for that same price, but for building it, like, you pick one of four styles, and you customize it, and there's, like, weight to it. You can display just the hilt, which is really cool. But the experience of building it is really
just the hilt, cool. just to see how it feels.
You build out the hilt specifically, like multiple parts?
Yeah, you start with like just a core, and you pick like what color crystal, and then one of four themes, and you build the hilt based around like the visual aesthetic. Cool. It's really cool. And I don't want to tell you too much about the... I feel like it should just be experienced. You can watch it on YouTube if you don't care about spoiling it for yourself.
How are the rides?
There's only one open right now. And it was great. You get to pilot the Falcon. DJ and I did it twice together.
Yeah.
As pilot and co-pilot. And getting the hyperdrive is incredible.
It's a little motion sicky, but like for the most part, it takes your mind off of it because they're making you do stuff like the left pilot controls. Is it left to right?
I think up and down.
Up and down. And then the right is left to right. And then you have
the hyperdrive.
Hyperdrive, yeah. But that's like seldom. But it's kind of like the...
It's the best. Challenging.
It really is. Like you have to like... While I was doing it, I was like, how true to like what I'm doing is it like happening on the screen? You know what I mean? And
it's pretty accurate.
But it's like one of you is Han and one of you is Chewie. Is that the idea?
Kind
of,
yeah.
It's awesome.
Pretty cool.
I rode it a third time by myself, like single rider line, and was a gunner. And it was a lot less fun because you're just in the back, like pressing a button on the wall, basically like to shoot.
You're not aiming or anything?
No, it's kind of weird. But it's still fun. Like, you're on this ride. It creates this feeling like I got on with five strangers. It was like a mom and her two sons and then some couple that did the single rider line. And instantly we were all like on the same page of like, whoa, pull up, like yelling to each other. Like, I was yelling to these strangers.
You're like, it's shooting them without me doing anything.
Yeah, we were like, yeah. But I instantly felt like a team with these people, which was really cool. So it is still fun. My only critique of the ride is like, it is like hosted by Hondo Onaka, who's from like the Clone Wars and Rebels.
One of the coolest characters, I think.
He's cool, but it's not like anyone, like, you have to be pretty inside baseball.
I actually don't like him. I know who he is. I know enough to know who he is, and I don't enjoy him.
Watch him in Rebels.
That's true, but I watched Clone Wars, so.
Yeah, he gets better, but there's a wonderful, like, a really impressive animatronic of him. Yeah.
He's a deep cut, though.
Yeah, and the mission is like something that I think is like, I mean, I won't tell you guys about it in case you want to experience it, but I think I was hoping for something bigger, like we'd be caught in a battle with the First Order and like the Resistance would show up. Like, it feels more.
I think
like
you can explain what it is. It's like no one's going to
be
like.
Do you care about knowing what the mission is that you're stepping
on? We're planning on going in May, so I feel like that's not
far
off.
I'm going in March.
Do you know what the mission already is?
I don't. I isn't it like you're delivering something for someone?
You're stealing coaxium from a ship on Corellia.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
But which is fun and cool, but I kind of wish it was like a First Order related. I don't know.
I think that's what the other ride is going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, they're built. And second ride's opening in December in Florida, and then January in California.
Yeah, so I back that it's two different ideas. You know what I mean?
It is. Yeah, that is cool.
Is it like Star Tours, where like you can get different like planets and scenarios every time?
Well, you do.
Yeah.
It could be different.
However, how good you perform while you're on the flight, I think it depends on how long you. That'll like dictate whether you make fun. Because like our first one, we got like 28%, and then on our second one, we got 34%, and it felt like different and a little bit longer. I don't know what your third one was like.
One time it was like, oh wait a minute, like the scanners have like something, like we brought something back with us.
Yeah, that's how
and
it
I
ended.
Like, I was waiting for like a Wrath Tar to pop up or something, but nothing did, and I wonder if that's something you could.
Interesting.
Like a Minot chewing on the cables or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So you could like spend that whole. Your whole day on that ride.
Oh, probably.
God, I can spend my life. There's an app that you can like log into the park and hack into things like and
that's
unlock
awesome.
Stuff and trade.
It translates Star Wars like writing.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you can like become part of like the First Order or the Resistance. It's really interesting.
Were you the one that was showing me people getting phone covers so that their phones look like communicators and stuff?
Yeah, they like
that's awesome.
Design their own phone cases to be like in universe.
That's awesome.
The first thing we did when we walked in is we got the gold gift card that you can use as currency.
Oh, that's sweet.
So you spend like $100 to get it, and then that's your gift card for like ever. Like, all you have to do is, like, bring it back and, like, reload it or whatever.
That's really cool.
My only critique with that is, like, they have to scan it with their barcode, and you can't just tap it to the pad.
Oh,
which
yeah.
seems like easy technology.
Yeah.
It's technology we already have.
Yeah.
And then we spent a bunch of time, like, just walking around, like, looking at all these shops and...
Shops are so cool.
Yeah, the droid building one is, like, crazy. There's, like, droid parts, like, on a conveyor belt above you going throughout.
That's cool.
Yeah. And one of the cantina was probably my favorite part. We got these awesome mugs,
yeah.
And it was on Jared's birthday, and it was just like the best time.
Yeah, DJ and Sarah got me this drink with this mug, which is
it's really sweet.
I feel like we have to post some pictures of them.
Yeah. I took a portrait pic, so maybe we'll post that. But we like all of the drinks are really good, and they're all like pre-made. Like all you have to do, they're like all on tap. Like even the
cocktails.
Yeah, the cocktails are on tap.
The tap for the Yub Nub, which is like a rum punch. Is a spear, like an Ewok spear.
That's awesome.
That has Yub Nub carved into the like arrowhead. It's super cool.
Oh, I love that.
There's a drink, a Dagobah drink, where it like the tap is Yoda's cane. It's really cool.
That's really cool.
The Jedi mind trick is like a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's...
It's awesome.
Yeah. Such small details, but like super important.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just super in-depth. Like the original pilot from the old Star Tours was Paul Reubens' character Rex, and he is... the DJ at the cantina now, which is really cool.
That's really cool.
And like just to tell how like inside baseball and like crazy,
like most failed pilots do become DJs.
They do. Yeah, it's pretty common.
There's seems like a logical step.
In the cantina, there are like pockmarks on the wall, like blaster, like carbon scoring or whatever, that is from a novel where like Thrawn and Vader got in like a fight in that cantina. It's like really in depth and
they go
crazy.
The detail orient just seems fucking amazing.
Does it take place during the same time as Mandalorian?
No, so it is right after Last Jedi.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I was saying how cool it would be if Chewie walked in and he was like the norm of
Chewie.
Like, yeah, the cantina. But the second night we were there, we were sitting in a booth. Like, the first time we were there was me and Jared and our ladies. And we were sitting at the bar, or standing at the bar. And it was still just as cool. But we got a booth on the second night. And we just heard everyone, like, erupt into, like, applause. And, like, we all looked at the doorway. And it was Chewie.
Like, awesome.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. And so he basically is, like, the norm of
the cantina.
He popped
in just to, like, wave to everyone. Everyone just was
That's
cheering.
So
it was awesome.
Yeah. Chewie's such a fucking norm.
I know. He's such a norm.
Oh, I can't wait to go. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm going March, and I already can't fucking wait.
Do you guys have plans to go?
Yeah, we're going to go to the California one in May.
That's right. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Are you going to Orlando or California?
You're talking to me. I was like, yeah,
Orlando.
I'll be there.
You going, Tim?
Are you coming with me on our vacation?
Did you get your ticket yet? Or
she booked hers. Yeah, I know only 2 out of 5 of us have been, so we can move on to the movie now.
You did bring me back a really cool Sabacc deck, though, that I was very appreciative of.
Oh, yeah.
The Sabacc
deck's pretty cool.
Yeah,
no, that was
Tim
really cool. I was dying to know, especially about the saber making process. Not that I want.
Are you guys gonna do it?
Oh, I'm definitely gonna do it.
100%.
Both making sabies.
You're gonna do it. I was gonna do it.
You should both.
Well,
we don't have $400.
You do.
You
just
already
throw around at lightsabers.
You already have a lightsaber. I don't have one yet.
Oh,
so
she
if
makes a good point,
either of us are gonna do it, it should be me.
If you guys go to patreon.com/everyonedeservesone. Tim and Kat were funding their lightsaber build.
I've been on too many podcasts lately where a married couple is fighting on the air.
About who gets to build the lightsaber?
Yeah, sure. Yes, and...
It's common.
Anyway...
I'm building one.
Today, we're talking about Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, so last night,
sure
we all hung out and DJ brought his projector over and we set up a screen in the projector... And plugged into a big PA, and we watched Return of the Jedi in my basement.
It was awesome.
It was really cool. Like it felt like a private movie theater.
Yeah, it was being like in a movie theater, but better, because I didn't have to deal with annoying people.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Except for Kat.
What?
Well, stop farting. Just enjoy the movie.
You asked me what my favorite blaster was, so I had to answer you.
And your answer was?
This one.
Right into the mic.
It's an older fart, sir, but it checks out.
We sound like a bunch of shock jocks.
My friend Pete used to always say that at when we worked at Lego together, and we'd get like an older set returned to us, and he would always get it and be like, yeah, it's an older coat, but it checks out.
That's really cool.
He's a really clever guy.
That's a fun joke.
Shout out to Pete.
There's a great version of that that's like, it's an older meme, sir, but it checks out.
That's so funny.
Let's jump into this thing.
So for a long time in my life, this is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Really?
Same.
That makes sense. I think it's the most kid-friendly of the original trilogy for sure.
What was those damn teddy bears?
This was the one that most made me want to come into this episode parroting you, being like, guys, I love this movie.
Yeah,
like,
I love this movie so much.
I love it a lot. More than I think I do anytime I see it. And especially growing up, it was like, I think it was my favorite growing up.
It's so fun.
Similar to what Mike on our last episode was saying, where like, he's like, oh yeah, it's my hero. He's now like fully realized he's a Jedi now. It's like the kind of ultimate destination of where the story's been going.
It's cool handless Luke.
Oh. There's the spin.
What a woman.
How long have you been sitting on that?
It just came to me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it did. I'm serious.
What are we even talking about anymore? Anyway, when I think of this movie, I think of the party in the trees.
Yeah.
I want to be there. We were talking about that last night. It's like,
it's so cozy and cool.
It's like the ultimate tree fort.
Yeah, I mean, I would kill everyone in this room to go to a party like that.
You know what?
I'd get wasted and dance with teddy bears for days.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Wedge fucked an Ewok.
Dude, that's why they call him Wedge, baby.
Yeah. Ooh.
Jeez.
There's a...
Yeah, that leverage.
Yeah, everybody says.
Wedge Packer. Everybody says.
Everyone says.
Wedge Packer.
I kind of like half-heartedly said that into the microphone. I didn't know if that was okay or not.
Yeah, it's on there now.
There's a pop culture blog that I follow, Omega Level, and they were making shirts for a while, and they had one that said Yubstep, and it had a breakdancing Ewok on it, and I was like, I want that shirt.
That's
one
funny.
Of the best shirts I've ever seen.
I love Yubnub, and it was not in the version that we watched last night.
No, it wasn't.
The new song is not as good.
Yeah.
And let's maybe get that out of the way.
So Tim and I started a conversation on the way home, and then we were like, this is good. We have to put a pin in it.
So what I asked her is like, people shit on the prequels and they shit on the special editions. And a lot of people shit on the new movies, the Disney movies.
A lot of people shit on Ewoks.
I'm just imagining
so I was kind
of
like, how would you rank those like
DVDs
quote
and
unquote bad
them.
Star Wars things? Like, what do you think is worse, the prequels or the worst parts of the special edition in this? Because my point of view on this was that the new song that they add in Jabba's Palace is the worst 2 minutes of Star Wars in anything.
It's almost holiday special bad.
Yes.
I would argue that it was the worst 2 minutes of my entire life.
Really, really bad.
I got to tell you, though.
You disagreed, though, didn't you?
I did. So I said that the few moments that song happens, while it is awful, it's only a few moments and doesn't ruin the entire movie. The prequels as a whole is worse than those 2.5 minutes.
Although when Cy Snoodles puts her mouth towards the camera and it gets bigger,
it's like
a cartoon.
3D almost.
I think if you took that scene and inserted it into any other movie in the Star Wars universe, everybody would universally be like, that movie fucking sucks.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Just because of that one scene.
Also, Lopty Neck, the original song, was awesome.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it.
I will say, oh, go ahead.
No, you were in before me. Oh, go ahead.
I do feel like that every time I like watch it, though. In my head, I'm always like, this is like a fucking 12-minute scene that I do not want to watch. And
the original
like,
or the new one?
No, like the new one. In my head, it's just super long.
I remember it feeling endless.
Yeah, but it's really actually not super long. It is not a good scene.
It's
but
like
it's
maybe
not,
45 seconds.
It's not super long.
It felt like a commercial break in the movie.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Why is that guy's mouth ribbed for your pleasure?
Yeah, seriously.
And his abs.
He knows what he's
also.
Doing. That, I don't know. I find it really annoying when Star Wars fans like know better than the filmmakers and stuff. And it's like, however, that scene is not even a
Thanks.
Little bit okay. No, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of nitpicky criticism with Star Wars.
Sure.
But that scene is not okay.
It's undeniably
it's
bad.
It's so funny.
It's rough. It's a rough scene.
And to replace a scene that was fine with that garbage.
Especially
is
because a lot of the stuff in that movie that they change, I really like. Like, I really like when you're at Jabba's palace and they're going out to the Sarlacc pit and you see that like herd of banthas. Yeah, that's like cool. A really cool scene.
Oh, that was added after?
Yeah.
I'm down for that. I loved that.
I don't love the beak in the Sarlacc.
I don't hate that either. I think it's horrible.
It's okay, but I don't think it needs it. It's fine.
It definitely doesn't need it, but I think it's kind of cool. It makes it less passive.
Yeah.
Do you remember the original Sarlacc without the beak?
Wasn't it just a butthole?
Yeah.
A butthole with worms.
And it's teeth.
Like, yeah.
Sandy butthole.
And you know, this one was
butthole.
Like...
the sandy butthole.
And this one was basically like Audrey 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was beak in a bit.
Yeah.
the last battle that takes place like on the in the space around Endor, did they add extra TIE fighters to that?
Oh, I don't know. Almost definitely.
Sure, they
probably.
I feel like that was fine though.
I know
like,
the
Ewoks, space battles yeah, almost always.
The space battles are fine. Yeah.
I mean, they up
blink. No,
that's true.
Blink in
that was new.
That's new. Yeah.
So the majority sense, of the changes in this,
the door at Jabba's palace is a lot bigger than it used to be.
Yeah, I actually noticed
really?
That.
It's a weird change, yeah.
When they like first, when R2 and 3PO first go up to it, I'm like, what are the odds that they're knocking right where that fucking eye is going to pop out?
Because I don't know, but never tell me them.
There's a whole bunch of eyes going.
Yeah, but, maybe there's like an eye every 5 feet.
Yeah, it's a huge fucking door.
That's a good point. I love that moment. I love the comedy of
Yeah, so
of 3PO like knocking once and being like, I guess no one's here. Bye.
Let's go, shall we?
So good. His huttees are just like R2
Dantoa. Speaking, just talking about like special editions and effects and all that, I was taken aback by how good Jabba looks.
He's incredible.
Yeah, all of the practical effects in this look great. Like the Rancor looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Like that looks like a modern day creature.
With the exception of when he picks up Luke, you can tell it's that like cutting out style of like special effects from back then.
Yeah.
But the Rancor itself looks great.
Looks awesome. Awesome. What I did not care for in this one was how many boogers were on Jabba's face. I do not remember him being that snotty, and it made me nauseous.
You did. He kept...
was so snotty. He was so rude. He was just like...
You kept saying like, how gross it was.
Jabba no wonka.
I was sitting next to him on the couch, and all I could hear was...
He was like, Luke, that outfit. Jabba no wanka.
Oh, so gross.
Yeah, he's like,
that's all he kept saying until he died.
He is pretty gross.
He looks like a real organic creature.
He does.
Yeah.
Because he looks like shit in episode one.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, he's pure CG.
Would you guys like to see another Hutt in episode 9?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Zero. No.
Zero.
Don't
zero. Zero.
But I would say
zero.
Only if
you
it's
mean
practical.
My nephew, Jabba.
Oh my God. It's such a good impression.
That's really good.
God. That was amazing.
Poor unfortunate Hutt. I don't think I would want to see it unless it was purely.
Practical.
Are you
definitely
telling me you don't want Stinky to show up?
Yeah, Rhoda.
If he's
Rhoda
practical,
no. Actually, it would
I'd be okay with that.
Even if they were,
yeah, because
like,
he'd be grown up now.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
That'd
even
be
if
cool.
They were just like background, like not even like a main thing. Like
you know, if they
something.
Did a Hutt, it would be a practical Hutt.
Oh, I sure as hell
it's
hope gotta, so.
It would
yeah,
have
JJ
to be.
JJ would for sure do a practical
because they do a lot of cool stuff with the Hutts and like the Clone Wars and like the like more like in the comics and stuff like that. Because it's like these are just like the underworld, like this is the mafia kind of thing. It's cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
be
the
awesome
Hutts are basically just like Italians.
I was going to say that and then decided not to.
Yeah, they're like big, hairy, sweaty, like, ugly, obnoxious.
You guys ever notice that Italians are like, I do crimes.
Not what I
Please
meant,
let
guys.
It be
Come
known
on.
That I am Italian.
Yeah, I'm also partly Italian.
Not anymore.
I'm also very sorry.
and the other half is Salacious Crumb.
I actually love Salacious Crumb.
That He's name is a, so funny.
Yeah,
I am fucking Salacious Rum right now. I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been a good name for the opening.
Salacious
I know.
Rum.
I didn't think of one until, or I didn't even think about how we'd do that to open the show. I should have been more prepared.
I'm the spacious bum over here.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's because you spread your butt cheeks. That's so gross, Jared. Grow up. Should we top to bottom now?
Yeah.
Put the Sarlacc away.
So, at the top, Jabba looks great. But as you get to the bottom,
he's tails
like,
off.
He's like
his like wiggly tail that's like kind of
Who can do their
phallic.
Best? For the listeners, who can do their best visual Jabba tongue impression?
Just visual.
Jared actually nailed it.
You didn't have to lick my face when he did it, but he did a good job nonetheless.
Don't swallow him. Don't.
He's now choking him.
You guys hear me?
Just put the mic up to his tummy.
So do you guys want to go beat by beat a little bit?
Cat actually just nailed it too.
I will say this movie, I love it, but it does feel like it's like two. It's not two different movies, but out of all the Star Wars movies, it feels like I'm watching one thing here and then one thing at the end.
Well, we did watch it on split screen.
I know what you mean. The first like 40 minutes is just retrieving Han.
And I love it. It's great. But it does feel very, I'm not going to say disjointed because it does flow. But at the same time, I'm like, all right, this is like two different things. But
that's
I love it.
A really good point. It would be, if it was Mandalorian, it would be two different episodes for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think episode 9 will do that? Have like a 40 minute first act?
I think I'm on record saying I want act 1 of episode 9 being, quote, rescuing a Solo.
Yeah.
So Rey kind of saving Ben. I think that would be mirroring of it.
So it's interesting that you say that because I actually was getting a lot of Last Jedi vibes from this one. I feel like Rian Johnson was very heavily influenced by Return of the Jedi.
The throne room scene specifically? Yeah,
the throne room scene.
The name Jedi in the title.
That's fair.
But also
the fact that it was the last movie.
Yeah. Well, no, because they like Yoda specifically says to Luke, "You will be the last Jedi."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
The last you I refuse will be.
To last to of the it. Jedi you will be.
Yeah, the last of the Jedi you will be. Yeah.
That's not as good a title.
Star Wars, Last of the Jedi you will be.
But there was that the throne room in like the Praetorian guards, but also that final like showdown where Luke is in the room with the Emperor and Vader. And the Emperor has Luke's lightsaber on his throne.
It's very similar.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and he's like talking about how they like have the hatred and the power and all of that. Like I was like imagining, I like was conflating the two movies for a moment, and like could easily imagine Luke using the Force to take out the Emperor, like on his throne, because he uses the Force to bring his lightsaber back to him. So, like, I feel like there's almost in a ring theory way that there is a lot of influence of Return of the Jedi on Last Jedi.
Yeah, I think
spoilers for Last Jedi.
Yeah, Last Jedi kind of like is part Empire Strikes Back, part Return of the Jedi, which puts Episode 9 in a cool position to be like a finale.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, DJ just got a cat in his lap.
Yeah. An actual animal.
Yeah, an actual cat.
Sorry if you're listening to this, it's just an animal. Oh, she's an animal, baby.
It's literally it's Zelda.
My first time meeting Zelda.
It's adorable.
Yeah, she's very friendly.
She's the best.
Oh, now she's hopping on the table.
Do you guys think people were pumped, like fans of this movie, to go back to Tatooine?
I was.
Yeah.
That must be cool, right? When you're like obsessed with New Hope and you get Empire.
So we were talking about this a little bit yesterday that like probably people who were already Star Wars fans when they saw this movie weren't as into it as people seeing it now. Like I saw it probably, I don't know, the first time in the late 90s. And I loved this movie. Like I said, this was like one of my favorites. I never thought twice about the Ewoks being like lame or stupid or anything like that. But like knowing that at the time, like hardcore Star Wars fans who like watched it at the time were like, oh, the Ewoks are stupid, like blah blah blah, like
the Porgs are the modern day Ewoks.
Yeah,
that's a good call. Love them both.
Think again.
Love Ewoks, love Porgs.
I agree.
I almost bought a Porg Pez dispenser.
I have no problem with the Ewoks at all. I think they fit right into the Star Wars universe. I love them.
And people are always like, they're just cute little like cuddly things. Like fuck that, they're just straight up murdering people.
I do.
That's also true. But
so the one of the things that I had a question about that was just like It seems like a plot hole to me. How did the Empire never encounter the Ewoks until the end of this movie? Like, they built a whole base there and everything. How did they never encounter the Ewoks
before? Well, the Ewoks, like, knew they were there because they knew, like, oh, hey, yeah, we knew, like, the secret
Here's
way
the
in
back
the back
yeah.
door. Right. And if you look at it, like, kind of like when Wicket first encounters Leia,
mm-hmm.
I mean, she even says, like, oh, you're, like, really, like,
skittish
and stuff like that. They definitely, like... Hey, well, let's not go near them and get killed kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess yeah, so, but then they're like, fuck these guys. We're going to Home Alone Endor and take right, them all right. out.
Well, that's,
so like, why didn't they?
That's because
but I think that was
were,
part of like Han and all those people being there.
True.
Being, we're going to kill all these people and
yeah.
then they'll be gone from
And they
life.
Become part of their tribe right. that night.
And
they,
C-3PO
like,
was also
them.
Like, I am Jesus Christ.
yeah, right? yeah.
Superstar.
My yeah. world's.
I have a few questions for you guys. So would you guys like to see Tatooine in episode 9? I think we may have talked about this
Absolutely.
Before.
Yeah.
I would too. I think it'd be cool.
I'd like to see, honestly, any planet again. Endor, I don't care.
We haven't gone back to any planet. Just any planet.
Yeah, yeah. Mars, who gives a shit?
Bring Pluto back. Why not?
Do your worst.
fucking pizza planet? Yeah.
put fucking Planet Fitness in there. I don't give a shit.
Captain Planet? Like. I think that'd be really cool. We haven't seen any planets in the new movies that
it's
we've
all
seen
new stuff.
In
yeah.
Previous.
Oh shit! Movies. Is that true that we haven't been to Tatooine in this
in the new trilogy? Yeah,
Jakku.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it just feels like
not
we
any
have.
Planets. Not no prequel planets.
Nothing.
What about Ewoks? Would you guys like to see Ewoks?
I would, even if it was just like one in the background somewhere. I'd be
it would
happy.
Be tough for me if
Ooh,
they went
like
to
a really
Endor
old wicket.
See Ewoks.
Oh my god, Wicket's now yeah. like the chief. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I think any throwback to any creature or planet from the original trilogy would be cool.
Yeah, that'd
I
be
agree.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I do have to say though, you guys remember when George Lucas criticized Force Awakens right after it came out?
As being like crowd pleasing, basically?
Yeah, too crowd pleasing and
for
like
the fans
more of like a retro type of movie. And he yeah. was like, when I first envisioned Star Wars, I was thinking like every movie would be like a bunch of new planets and you're never like revisiting old stuff. You're always like seeing new stuff. True. But he was like, this felt to me like very retro. Like they showed a sand planet and they, you know, right. all of that type of stuff. And so
we got Shmatooine and Shmoth. And
that's, but I guess my point is like, it's really interesting yeah. that the new movies, I think are kind of the opposite of that criticism. We haven't repeated a planet. We haven't repeated not only from the originals, but I don't think we've repeated a planet from the new movies.
Yeah, every planet in it has been new.
We briefly saw in like Last Jedi because it picks up right where Force Awakens ends.
Oh, so yeah,
we see like
right.
Dakar and
yeah.
Octo, but yeah, you're right. Like Crait is new, and I know Canto Bight's not the planet, but Canto Bight
mm-hmm.
or Cantonica, whatever.
Do we know where the Mandalorian takes place?
We don't.
No, it's all over.
It looks like Tatooine, but
it does look like Tatooine. But
there are Jawas and stuff. But that action figure,
it's an off-world Jawa, yeah. so I'm thinking it's not
show.
Tatooine.
I can't wait.
It seems say. Like it's going to be.
Can you
a
sign
handful.
Up for Disney Plus yet?
No.
I am already Soon. Signed up.
If you were at
really?
If you were at D23, you could do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you were at D23.
I signed up for the newsletter that like lets you know when you can.
It's literally
subscribe.
The most I've ever been like.
Excited for streaming service.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
yeah.
So today we are exactly, the day that we're recording this is September 20th. So we're exactly 3 months out from the release date of episode 9.
Oh, have they announced when tickets go on sale yet?
No.
They usually do in October.
Typically early to mid-October for the last okay. two movies. There's like a final trailer and tickets on sale. But I think we're like just over 50 days from The Mandalorian too.
Yeah. We're
yeah.
also like, what, 2 weeks from Triple Force Friday where I'm
yep.
going
to yeah.
lose whatever money I have left.
Saw Did you guys see the action figures for that?
Yeah, can't wait. Find that Mandalorian really cool. Black Series.
Mm-hmm. It looks awesome.
Pretty cool.
Should we move the plot along?
Yeah, where were we?
Very
I think
beginning.
We did.
Did we start?
We were knocking on Jabba's door.
Oh, so like
knocking on Jabba's door.
So again, in this movie, the green lightsaber shooting out of R2 into Luke. That must have been fucking awesome.
I fucking love the green lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's great, and more I want to see it shoot out of R2's perfect little head and into Ben Solo's hand.
That sweet, sweet little butthole he has.
Sweet little dome he's got going.
little butthole. Quick sidetrack. What color would your lightsaber be?
Like, if you build it, green.
Yeah.
I can speak from experience.
Yeah.
I know from experience, dude.
Know what I mean.
You're a Blumen.
Not me personally, but a guy.
Blue is my favorite color, so I think I probably would just go classic blue, not to be boring.
I'm also a Blumen.
I'm a Greenman.
Yeah, blue is my favorite color, but I feel like mine would be green.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sure, but
I think mine would be red, and I'd kill all of you. I don't know.
Saying that blue is your favorite color, but you go green is like just having two answers, and that's, you're disqualified. I'm sorry.
She's just trying to save the planet, man.
I get it.
Green.
If I had it my way, am I picking from pre-existing colors, or can I pick like one that hasn't happened yet?
No, go with one that's
you
in
can invent a color.
I would I'd like to hear both. From the so when you build it at Galaxy's Edge, you can pick between red, green, purple, and blue. But you can buy additional crystals that are like yellow or white.
I would want a white crystal.
But I think it still lights up red.
It does, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Obsidian.
I think orange would be cool, and I overall do not like the color orange, but like to have a new color as a lightsaber would be awesome.
It existed in older canon.
But what about a gray lightsaber? I feel like that would be
That'd be cool.
Interesting. Ooh, that would be cool.
There is one black lightsaber in canon that's called the Darksaber. Yeah. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's like the whole Sam Jackson thing. The only reason he has a purple lightsaber is because Sam Jackson's like, I want a purple lightsaber. Make that happen.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Imagine having that kind of pull.
Right?
Yeah, Lucas never got back to me.
I figured before I built mine that mine would be blue. Like, I'm very drawn to like Obi-Wan and Luke's early lightsabers. But when we went to build it, part of the story, they like talk about the Kyber crystal and open up a canister with it. And they're like, they tell you to close your eyes and like, picture with the crystal, and
like,
then when you open it, pick one. And Whippets. Like I said, life-changing.
Whippets is my favorite Ewok.
That's so good. But in that moment, I really tried to be like, all right, which one is calling my attention? And there was like a specific blue one that I felt like they were glowing different colors. I'm sure it's all the same.
You were glowing different colors that day too.
Yeah, I really was.
Actually, like, hi here, man. Are you just seeing different things?
You should check it out, my friend.
Where are we in the plot?
I want to say a few more things about Tatooine before we leave Tatooine. Seeing this in theaters when it was new, Leia being under the bounty hunter. How do you guys pronounce that? Boosh? Boosh?
I say Boosh.
I say Bush.
Bush, yeah.
When Leia, I say Bush Light.
Yeah, Bush Light.
Tomato, tomato.
I say Bush Heavy.
We've like known this and seen this, but when that character takes off their helmet and is Leia, that must all be cool, right?
Such a cool reveal. I think that's that plus the green lightsaber is also an awesome reveal.
Yeah, I knew it was her, but even when that scene happened, I was like, ooh!
Yeah, how does she do that voice?
Yeah.
She
just says the same line over and over, right?
I think that's actually true.
She's like, why don't you to Papa?
Yeah, I think that if you
I feel
look,
like Yoto is said a lot.
I think if you look it up, they do reuse the same dialogue sound-wise and then change what she's saying in the subtitles because they didn't have like enough footage of it.
Bullshit language.
Yeah, it's just, it's not, obviously not a real like fully mapped out language.
It is really cool though, because then you get Han out of like the carbonite.
It's
bullshit.
It's bullshit.
That was really good.
It's not really good.
I love, I do love the dialogue of them come back together like, Luke, is that you? Like, how are we doing? Like, same as always. Not bad, huh?
As soon as Han Solo is out of the carbonite, he is like a non-stop. He's like, he's performing stand-up. He is a non-stop comedy machine throughout this movie.
He rules.
He, between that bad, huh? Like, literally going around everywhere. And I fucking love it. Even, like, his interaction with Chewie when he's, like, petting him and stuff. It's great.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chewie's fucking, like, his hair in this is gorgeous.
He looks
oh,
great.
It's, like, flowing, man. Flowing. He's definitely using some
is
kind
of
mousse.
Is Chewie?
Yeah.
But then, even, like, when they're on the skiff, he's, like, Luke's, like, I grew up here, you know? He's, like, you're gonna die here, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's
that.
So good.
Some of the best Han lines.
Yeah.
And him being,
it's
like,
awesome.
How are we doing? Same as always. That bad, huh?
Yeah,
that's like,
what I'm saying. I love that so much. It's
I'm sorry.
The best. That's okay. We can talk about that twice.
Tim and I
feel like you did that the last episode, too, where people talked about a great line, and then I came back from the bathroom, and I was like, you know what line I love?
You know what line's great?
Tim and I frequently talk about how Harrison Ford and Steve Martin could play brothers in something. And I feel like in Return of the Jedi specifically, he has very like Steve Martin mannerisms and delivery.
Cat, I totally see that.
I am going to say this, and I want you to know that I'm not making this up, but in my head last night when we were watching the movie, I was thinking about like if they'd made a parody of like a parody before Spaceballs, like who would be like a legitimate like just Han Solo, not like a combination of the two. And I was like, Steve Martin would have fucking nailed it.
Right?
It would have been perfect.
Talked a lot about Little Shop of Horrors and listened to the soundtrack on the way here today.
Oh,
it was a long drive too.
Yeah, Chimo was like passed out.
It went by super quick because the soundtrack of Little Shop of Horrors is so great.
I was very tired.
But it's Steve Martin.
Remember when he got here, he was like, feed me, Seymour.
That's what he like, calls what? Me. It's like a cute pet name.
It's new. But Steve Martin is playing like Elvis cool in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
just
awesome.
Facially, I think they look super similar.
They do look very similar, but him being like that bad, huh? Like his delivery and like his facial expressions, a lot of the smirks and stuff he makes, like it's very, he's definitely channeling
it's
a lot of Steve Martin.
Yeah, facial expressions that Steve Martin would make in a like a parody type of way.
Exactly.
I can definitely see him too, like when they're flying into Endor for the first time, like, I don't know, fly casual. I can see Steve Martin doing that.
And even you tell that piece of worm ridden Phil. What'd you say?
Martin Short is Chewbacca.
And introducing Martin Short.
I would love that.
That would be fantastic.
It'd be such a waste of Martin Short.
Martin Short is as Yoda.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, it'd be really great.
Or even Leia.
Hell yeah. Or Luke.
So hot.
Luke. He would be Luke.
Literally just Star Wars starring Martin Short.
Yeah. It'd be like the way Eddie Murphy would operate, like where Martin Short would play everyone but like Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be great. But yeah.
I do kind of agree with Harrison Ford's like, I should be killed off at this point. Like, he's great in this movie, but he's silly and... I kind of agree that like Han Solo has a lot less to do in this movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a very Luke focused story and Luke and Leia's relationship and kind of the revelations of that. And Han is just like, yeah, I won't stand in your way.
I disagree. I love that they rescue him at the beginning. I think.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
But then he's rescued.
I disagree with your guys' view that Han sucks and is like a terrible
No one's saying Han sucks. He's just kind of underutilized in this.
I think Han has like character motivation in New Hope and Empire. And in this one, it's more like, we saved you. Keep being the shit. Like, you and Leia love each other.
I love it.
No, me too. I don't dislike that, but I think I like. He's more of a well-written character in New Hope and Empire, I think.
Maybe, but I love the idea that Luke is the star of this, and he can have like the really central narrative, and Han is because in a way I feel like Han is way more central to Empire than probably makes sense given the arc of the
Covenant
trilogy.
I mean, he divided
the trilogy overall. You know what I mean? Like, I think.
Right.
And the other thing I love about this, and they were talking about this for episode 9, is that it's like a group adventure movie. And I love that you get to see Han, Luke, and Leia together.
Yeah, this is really fun in that regard.
Which they keep saying about episode 9 as well.
Yeah, they're the part where Han is like bringing his team together, and he's like, "Yeah, I have my team's ready, but I don't have a flight crew for the shuttle." And Leia's like, "I'm in, obviously."
I don't want to speak for you, buddy, Chewie.
So I just thought of this right now. Do you think in Rise of Skywalker we're gonna see Han, Luke, and Leia as Force Ghosts standing next to each other, like the end of Return of the Jedi?
That's possible.
I think we're gonna see Luke. I think we're gonna see Leia maybe like kind of fade away, kind of thing. I don't think we'll see Han as a Force Ghost though.
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe knowing what we know about Force Ghosts, do we think Han could be a Force Ghost? Yeah.
So no. I really, really want to see like a Han and Luke de-aged like 10 years to like last time they saw each other scene.
Let me rephrase the question then. Do you think we're gonna see Luke and Leia and Leia holding Han's urn as Force Ghosts?
She's just holding the dice up and pointing to them and looking at the camera.
Swinging them around.
She's like, guys, this represents Han.
Yeah.
People have talked about that, like Rey in that trailer has like the blaster that Han gave her and the lightsaber that's Luke's. And then like we see Leia give her that medal from like the medal ceremony. Like that she's very much supposed to be like carrying on. Like
it's so hard to know how much of that though is like
edit.
The editing that they had to do to incorporate Carrie Fisher in this movie.
Right.
Because they said they had to reuse footage. So it's like, yeah, well, in that reused footage, Rey had that blaster and that outfit and, you know, that lightsaber and all that stuff. So
do you think they're going to reuse the footage of her in Rogue One? when she's a cartoon.
Invite like 10 lines that the response to which is hope.
I am dying to see how much Leia's in this movie and how they do it.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they do that too. But going back to what you were saying, Jared, that kind of thing does. I know there's a lot of arguments out there for Rey being kind of a Mary Jane character.
Mary Sue.
She's Spider-Man.
It's like she's a redhead. Yeah. But I think that kind of thing where she has a little bit of Han and a little bit of Luke and a little bit of Leia, being an amalgamation of the original three, does kind of add to the Mary Sue narrative.
Right.
But I also do like that, because there's a little bit of all of them in the new characters, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So having that kind of mixture is nice.
It's an interesting contrast with Kylo too, as someone who's let the past die, kill it if you have to.
And she's like holding on to every single thread of the past that
she can.
Yeah.
Okay, can we go back to the plot and leave Tatooine?
Anything else worth
you want to talk
about
Tatooine? Boba Fett being a bitch, which I do not disagree with. I do disagree with. I should say.
All right, should we go back and talk about?
No, let's move on. Boba Fett's awesome. Continue, Dagobah.
I do want to talk about one
Dagobah.
Thing.
Dagobah.
I'm talking quickly.
Dagobah.
Timothy King's and Dagobah.
Holy shit.
That was really good.
That's not even the first time that I've parodied that song with what someone had said. I was at a party, I think at your house, Jared, where someone said bag of buns, and I said Kings and bag of buns.
That's really good.
It's a Lion King song. For anyone who hasn't caught on.
I love it so much.
Let's go to Dagobah.
Yeah. No, let's not. I wanted to say one thing. My favorite Carrie Fisher quote of all time is in response to somebody talking about how like she used to be hot or something as Slave Leia. And she was like, yeah, being young and beautiful is not an accomplishment. And I just love that so much.
I love that too.
She was fucking awesome.
The panel that I went to at Celebration that was all about women in Star Wars, they were talking about how when Disney acquired the Star Wars franchise, that they were going to stop creating any merchandise that portrayed Slave Leia, like any action figures, posters, anything of that sort. And Carrie Fisher was like, why? She's like, I don't like that costume. She's like, but that's taking a part of Leia's story out of the equation. She's like, that shows her at some of her strongest moments. And she's like, people might think that I hate Slave Leia, but that is her overcoming tropes and showing her like true spirit. She's like, so if anything, I feel like Slave Leia should be celebrated.
It's also where a lot of fans were overcoming.
Yeah, if you take that part out of the movies, then there will be millions of Star Wars fans everywhere with insufficient funds in their spank bank.
To be clear, they did not want to take it out of the movies. They wanted to like stop action figures.
Figures and posters and
that was
stuff
like the only Return of the Jedi Leia for at one point.
Yeah,
for yeah. A long
time. Or the only Leia you can get at one point.
But I like that she takes that stance on it, and she's like, yeah, she might have been in a sexy costume, but she killed the man who was enslaving her, and like that was one of her strongest moments.
I love
the man. the most interesting man in Star Wars is Jabba the Hutt.
You
is that New Hope when he's like, Jabba, you're a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
That actually is in the movie.
Yeah, he says it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is an accidental joke.
Yeah.
That works really well.
Great hindsight.
Way better than stepping on his tail.
Much better.
Oh. Whatever.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, but you get the fun scene of the Sarlacc.
We've only talked about Act One.
Yeah, so yeah. You get the fun scene.
Let's go to Dagobah.
And move on.
We need to go to Dagobah. So they leave Tatooine, and Luke goes his own way to go see Yoda,
an old friend.
I do like the moment of Luke flying there, like going to see an old friend, and Han's like, "Hey, kid, thanks. I owe you one." I don't know why that. I like that.
Shows their friendship.
And R2 flashes the like Chinese food menu on the screen. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll have the number two.
Yeah, it looks like DS3. We had Chinese food last night. We watched the movie. And shout out to Rick's Cafe in Borica. All right, so Luke goes back to Dagobah to see Yoda.
Nothing. You know what I love about that scene is part of me feels like in Empire when Yoda's being goofy. That's him just testing Luke.
Yeah.
But seeing him being goofy in Return of the Jedi is like, oh, that's who Yoda
that's
is.
It's his sense of humor.
It's very different tone.
I blame whoever's doing the eye work for Yoda as a puppet.
He is very googly-eyed in this movie.
Those eyes are out of control.
When he's dying.
Come on.
You were fucking killing me with the ears last night.
His ears.
Oh my god, crazy. That was so fucking funny.
Dude, I love even before he lays down in the bed, he's talking about like dying soon, and Luke's like, well, Master Yoda, you can't die. And Yoda's like, fucking watch me.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't die. Yeah. I'm 900 years old.
Not only can I die, I will die in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And not only will I die in 5 minutes, I will disappear.
In one of your fucking eyes.
Who pointed out his ears? Was it Tim? I think it was you, Tim.
I think so, yeah.
Please explain that whole thing.
I had never noticed this before watching it, but as Yoda's on his deathbed, he keeps like turning back to Luke to like
talk to him,
tell him more about like his family history and the Force or whatever. But as he does it, he like his prosthetic ear
his
is like
ear.
Crunched up against his pillow, and it is so folded that we were like laughing at how uncomfortable it looked and how like the thought of that being what's killing him was
a bad case of bendy ear.
Well, Luke is like, is Darth Vader my father? And Yoda shuts his eyes as hard as he can and tries to die really quick to escape that conversation. And then he's like, yeah, your father he is, I guess.
Your father he is.
He's like, look at me when you say that. And he's like, oh, my ear. Oh,
God. Oh, cruel fate.
I would, but I gotta die.
No, that scene is great. I mean, it's touching, but you do get the humor with Yoda, too. Like, look this good when you're 900 years old. That's great.
Can you imagine trying to die and someone's like, oh, tell me about my life. And it's like, fuck you.
There's something going on over here.
Can you confirm some painful truths for me?
I'm a shade under a millennia, and you're thinking about yourself.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
I
yeah,
try to
he
die
is your dad.
My mom calls me.
It's like,
just kidding,
oh,
mom, I love you.
And you have a sister. He's like, I have a sister, and he's like, bye. Yeah.
Yoda just like mentally decided to use his last 30 seconds of life to tell Luke about the time he like hooked up with Yaddle.
I could tell you your sister's full ass name, but instead, I'm gonna die. Bye.
I feel gonna like tell you that she's got the same last name. Goodbye.
I feel like Yoda was trying to buy himself some time to be like, you have a twin sister and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And her name is?
Yeah. Like, he was trying to just be like, you have a twin sister, like, work with that. But, like, right away, Luke's like, Leia. Leia's my twin sister. She's
well,
the only other one in the whole series.
That's Obi-Wan. Yeah, we're saying that. It's like, Leia's my sister.
Yeah.
Like, I would love it if Obi-Wan was like, no.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But try and
keep
think of like.
Guessing.
From a certain point of view, no.
What was it you, Jared, that made the joke last night? You're like, well, it's either her or I'm Peru, and well, she's gone.
Yeah, he's like, your insights serve you well. It's like, well, I've met two women, and the other one's in Peru. So. Ghost Obi-Wan shows up out of nowhere in the woods.
Yeah, which
extremely physical
is hilarious because he's like walking like around trees and stuff, like
little bushes.
Yeah, when did you start walking, and how are you like traversing nature?
He literally walked the road so most winded. Traveled
from. Yeah,
he was so finding like the path that had already been the beaten path,
and then he sits down on a log. So like
so tired.
Yeah, what are the laws of being a ghost?
It's hard work being a ghost.
Yeah,
they do. Like I do like how they. In Last Jedi, they incorporate that back when Yoda comes back and he's sitting like on the was a rock or a log again.
Yeah, they love
logs. So like they can interact with like the physical world, which I think is cool. I like that.
I think early drafts of Return of the Jedi had Obi-Wan and Yoda showing up to help Luke fight Vader and the Emperor, like crazy. Ghosts helping fight.
I don't think I would have liked that.
It would feel. Like
it would have felt
much.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah.
But it could still happen.
I imagine. True. Like
yeah, there are rumors
there.
Of that for the Episode 9.
Ew.
Yeah. Who do you think they're gonna call?
Can we talk? Can we back up to that for a second? Because Kat made such a good joke about this.
Oh, thank you.
The yeah. song that's playing on Jabba's Sail Barge sounds so much like the Ghostbusters song. Yeah. And it was just like playing in the background, and Kat goes, "Who are you gonna call?" And who it's are also, they gonna call?
I don't know. It's also a great R2 joke.
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
serving drinks.
I can see that.
Yeah, 3PO runs into him and he's like, "What are you doing here?"
Like R2-D2 is a master of disguise. You didn't recognize him with this tray on his head.
They were both like traded in there, and it's like, "R2-D2, what are you doing here?" And he's like, "It's like I can see you're serving drinks."
I love that.
Whenever somebody
answer.
Catches me somewhere I shouldn't be, I'm like,
speaking of wingy.
I do like the every time I'm ever on like a diving board or like jumping off of something, I always do.
How often does
week,
that happen?
Twice a week.
I mean, once, three times a day. Who knows? No, but the,
you know
like the
how
little,
when you're on a diving board and you're like,
but like the
diving board in the summer in a public pool
gets me every time.
Melinda refused to go off the diving board because only children were doing it, and she missed out. It was great.
Diving boards are fun.
Wait, you did it?
I did diving board. Awesome.
And you still said only children were doing it.
And myself. And that's why she refused. This one was higher than usual. So I've
Melinda
never
said
dive,
and
but...
was correct that only pussies were doing it. And then I did it.
I did it.
By definition alone, kids are pussies.
Yeah.
Now, how high was the...
Probably like 5 feet off the like surface. But
like a high dive?
Springy as fuck.
Ooh.
Not a high dive, just 5 feet.
Nice. So 5 feet without the jump.
This is
5 feet
a
and springy. So
I was
it was launching you like 10 feet in the air. Yeah. Felt great. It was cool. You would love it.
Yeah. I mean, if I were on that diving board, I'd be like 20 feet.
I hope that we can go together someday.
You do have a high jump.
Dive Chappelle over here.
It was Dive Chappelle. I was super dive.
I don't get it. What?
Let's dive back
I
into
was the
some
Dive
Star
Matthews
Wars.
Band.
Ooh.
All right.
We should do that the rest of the episode.
We finished Dagobah. It's interesting to see Luke come back and kind of reconnect with Yoda, because the last time we saw them, Yoda was like, "Please don't go. You're going to get fucked."
Right.
And he was like,
"Yeah.
Hey, Yoda.
Oh, no, don't want that."
I really love the exchange between them where he's like, saying, "Is Darth Vader my father? He told me that he was," and Yoda's like, "Oh, unfortunate that is."
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like, "Unfortunate that I know the truth," and like that whole thing. It's I really love that.
It's unfortunate that you must face him.
Yeah.
That and the Obi-Wan exchange. I like how morally ambiguous it is.
Yeah.
So the truth there is that, like, when they wrote the script for New Hope, Darth Vader killed Anakin Skywalker, and that was the truth.
Really?
Yeah, so like it was written later that Anakin became Darth Vader. So the whole Obi-Wan thing is like a retcon of him being like, "Well, so what I told you was true from a certain point of view." Is so like,
oh,
is
kind of breaking the fourth
bullshit,
wall,
but
not so much fourth wall.
It's
like,
more just like they're
this.
Trying to like make it make sense, but
yeah. Mm.
That's crazy because I think it works so well to me.
Yeah.
It's so seamless that
oh, yeah, it's great.
Obi-Wan was lying to him.
Yeah, it makes sense why he wouldn't tell him. If Obi-Wan was at a place where he thought, like, Anakin being redeemed was not possible.
Even the way he says it, I feel like, because we watched A New Hope pretty recently. I feel like, I think we talked about it on the episode, too, maybe, where he's just like, he almost looks away from him. He's like, yeah, Anakin betrayed and, or Darth Vader
oh, and we talked about
and murdered your father.
Uncle Owen, how perfect that line is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's too much of his father in him. It's like, that's what I'm afraid of. That is insanely perfect.
Yeah, it's a perfect line.
It's not known.
So fortuitous. Yeah, I think.
And like as problematic as the prequels are, a lot of what they do
so
with...
rapey.
Yeah.
So rapey.
Yeah. Because it makes me uncomfortable.
Episode
Sorry,
Me Too.
Oh, wow.
Is like what they do with Yoda and Obi-Wan's characters from the little bit of dialogue that they have to flesh out that story of their relationship with Anakin and who Anakin was is pretty impressive. Like to be able to have that moral ambiguity and the grayness with Yoda and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And like to create the character of Anakin that they do, as awful as Anakin is, and part of that is directing and part of that is acting and part of that is the writing, but
part of it is the fact that they didn't do a love triangle with Obi-Wan.
Yeah, true. But I think it is really cool that they were able to go back that far and flesh out these characters enough to create three stories from a few lines of dialogue.
Yeah, I agree. I know this is jumping ahead a little bit, but that moment where it was
Force Awakens.
Yeah. In The Last Jedi. When Luke and Vader are on that bridge on Endor and they have that conversation of like, there is still good in you, Father, I felt it. And Vader's like, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. That is very interesting. Like,
yeah.
When?
I'm hoping that's what the Kenobi series is.
Me too.
Be.
I'm hoping the Kenobi series is about him like trying to contact Vader one more time.
Yeah, I would love to see them face off.
The Mustafar fight, though.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
Do you feel like in that moment, Obi-Wan is like, they're still good in you?
I mean,
yeah, I think that's Obi-Wan being like, did you please don't do this? You don't have to do
this. Like right before they start fighting, he's like, you haven't fucked up. Like, you can still like come back. And then even when he.
Oh, you think so? I think that right from the start, he's like, what the fuck are you talking? He's like, your new empire? Like, I feel like from the beginning, he's
that's. I think that's when he realizes he's like, he's gone
too far gone.
Younglings? Empire?
Every word.
Sith Lord?
What are we talking about?
From my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
But when Vader talks about feeling Obi-Wan on the first Death Star in A New Hope.
Go on.
Yeah, it does kind of give an allusion to they have had an encounter between Revenge of the Sith and
A presence
and
I've
New Hope.
Not felt since.
And he runs to the bathroom.
Episode 3.
Yeah, like I feel like there is at least one episode of the Obi-Wan series that we could have him facing off against Vader.
Yeah, be cool.
I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a fight, but like some sort of communication.
Yeah.
Of like giving Anakin one last chance before he gives up hope that Anakin's the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And
like even if they just feel each other in proximity and like have some kind of force link.
We know that at the time of Star Wars Rebels, like a few years before New Hope, Obi-Wan now thinks Luke is the chosen one.
Yeah.
And I want to see that shift. I want to see him be like a piece of shit when this show starts, like a mess, like lost his faith, like dedicated everything to the Jedi.
Like Luke in Last Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. Like a mess, and then re-find his faith in Luke, which we have not brought that up yet, that since our last episode, they have confirmed a Kenobi live-action Star Wars TV show for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
With Ewan McGregor.
10 episodes?
Wait.
Yeah, 10 episodes, I think. 10 or 8? I feel like I heard 8.
It's one of those two. Can't wait, though.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Also, if you want to just cheer up your day, watch the video of Ewan McGregor coming out on stage talking about it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's fantastic.
So I was not... So Melinda and I walked the floor of D23. Our friends, Brian and BWK, went to D23. And we were like staying just outside the convention with them at Disneyland. And we went and like walked the floor just for a few hours. So we were like there when it happened. But
that's cool.
Not in the panel, but it was cool to like everyone was talking about it. And they were playing the Mandalorian trailer out and around. It was awesome.
That's really sweet.
I got to see a Sith Trooper outfit.
You sent the pictures, yeah.
Is it a jump trooper? Is that what they call it? The jetpack?
I think that's what they're going for, yeah.
It looks really cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah, the Sith Troopers look awesome. I can't wait to find out more about them.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, so we are off of Dagobah.
We're on Home One.
Mm-hmm.
The Mon Calamari cruiser with like the briefing for...
Who made the joke last night when Han's like recruiting his team? And he's like, And I'm joining. And he's like, and Luke Skywalker, everybody.
All right.
That was DJ.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm here. Yeah. Luke Skywalker, everybody.
Yeah. One guy in his background is losing his mind.
Yeah, holding his autograph book.
I love that scene so much. Like, yeah. We're introduced to Akbar, who's such a cool, practical character.
Yeah, he looks great.
And I feel like you forget that you don't really see Luke and Han together at all in Empire.
Yeah, not much at all. And, just the beginning.
So, and that was true of Last Jedi too. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, it's such a bummer that these characters that had such great chemistry together in the first movie, you don't see them together in Last Jedi. And
adorable.
That's I don't know why, I just like never thought about that, but it's also true in Empire.
Yeah very
and to
much
see
so.
Them together again, like having fun and having an adventure, is really cool.
Yeah, I love when they get caught on Endor. It's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah,
when they're
although I love Han being like, all right, Chewie, always thinking with your stomach, and Luke's like, take it easy, like, yeah, relax, reach for my lightsaber.
R2's like, I got this.
Yeah. When they go to look for Leia on Endor, it's like a natural split. It's like, well, obviously Han and Luke and Chewie are going to go together, and they're going to take the droid, so everybody else, we're going to go in this direction. Like, it's just a known thing that they are a party.
Yeah, they just leave Captain Rex to man everybody else.
You guys told me that last night, and I love that little...
Yeah, it's a fun little...
Have you read up on it?
Yeah. No.
It's awesome.
So they show, like, Captain Rex is a clone from the Clone Wars and, like, that TV show who came back for Rebels. Like, there's a plot in the old Clone Wars where they all realize they have a chip in their head that's, like, meant to make them turn for Order 66. So they're, like, friends of the Jedi, but there's something that's going to, like, snap in their brain to make them kill Jedi. And Rex is part of a small group that discover it, and they remove it from their heads. So when Order 66 happens, they don't turn on the Jedi and they go into hiding.
That's really cool.
Mm. So they come back in Rebels, and we see him as like an older clone with like this big gray beard.
Yeah.
And people have pointed out that he looks like this old guy in Endor. So they end up drawing him or like animating him in the last season of Rebels in that same outfit as the old guy in Endor.
And then
like,
they full on confirm it.
They start calling him Gramps, which is what that character was called in old canon.
Yeah.
Gramps. We,
oh, I love
yeah,
that.
Like that's what the Rebels called him, because he's like an old dude with a white beard.
But yeah, it's full on confirmed in Rebels, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
When we were at Celebration, one of the rare chase pins was Rex without his helmet on, and I kept calling it Headless Rex. I was like, oh, did you get a Headless Rex?
That's awesome.
He's missing it. It's gone.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool, fun little retcon.
Yeah, that is cool.
So we get like Han with his strike team and gets Luke, Leia, Chewie, 3PO, and R2, like the whole family.
Whole gang.
Is back on a stolen Imperial shuttle to go to Endor.
They fly casual right through there.
Yeah, I love this whole scene of them flying to Endor. I love Endor. Do you guys like Endor?
Yeah. I love Endor, yeah.
Melinda hates Endor. She thinks Endor is boring.
Really?
Because it's like it could be on Earth.
It is.
Yeah, I think maybe it just isn't like exotic enough for her, but I love it. The speeder bike chase is incredible.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Those speeder bikes are awesome.
They're so cool.
I want one.
Yeah, me too. Really bad.
We had
like high top bar stools at my house when I was a kid. And I used to lay them down flat and pretend they were like speeder bikes. And
that's so cute.
They were perfect. I'll show you guys sometime.
He's talking about last week.
No, my house growing up when I was a kid. I remember watching this movie and sitting on a bar stool like it was a speeder bike.
Man, that would be cool. Like now that everyone is able to get a projector to like, if there's a video of like,
little VR.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
Simulate like Endor and like set up your own little speeder bike.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
It'd be so fun to ride a speeder bike.
Yeah.
I want to see, I've talked about this before with some of you, I think. I would love for the future of movie theaters to be like when studios make a movie, it comes with like a programming disc for the seats at the theater so that it's like a motion ride.
That would be
so
cool.
So you like just plug in the CD and like all the chairs move like along with the movie.
That's cool.
Awesome. They do have those like 4DX theaters, but they also like smell like burnt rubber when Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, that's the
stuff.
Other thing. Like, is if there's shit jokes, it should smell like shit.
That's so cool.
I actually think that's so stupid. I do not need to feel
shit.
What's in the movie? I don't need to, like, yeah, just smelling it is enough, right?
Like, do I really need to taste shit right now?
Get rained on in, like, raining scenes.
I taste enough in my normal life. Like, I don't need to be...
Where are you going? That's happening.
He's going to the kitchen.
Going downtown to Browntown?
My wife's cooking, am I right?
Hey! I'm a good cook, for the record.
I'm a good cook.
I'm a good cook.
So, Jared, get us on track.
I'm trying. Luke... Actually, we get a lot of stuff on Endor.
Yeah.
They become part of the Ewok tribe.
You get Wicket.
Oh, so Luke finds out Leia's a sister already on Dagobah and then tells Leia. I love that scene of Luke and Leia.
Yeah, like in the moonlight and stuff.
I really love that scene with Han, too, where he's like, oh, could you tell Luke? Is that who you could tell? And that's like a classic thing for him to say.
It is.
And he starts to walk away, and then he's like, I'm being a dick. And he comes back, and he's like, I'm sorry. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of like character growth in that moment.
There is. I think so. New Hope is like a huge turning point for Han. Empire is he's still this like kind of like dickish, hard to get, but like clearly cares about everyone. And Return of the Jedi is like the best version of Han, like as far as like the best person he can be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's fully like,
which is why I think it's kind of interesting and Force Awakens see him like regress into like a smuggler.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, but understandable.
I get how they get there. It's similar to how people complained about Luke, where you're like, yeah, I get why you'd be mad about it, but also like it's been, you know, however many years, it's perfectly reasonable that he would end up here. But
I think that speaks to his relationship with Leia too, like how much she helps him grow. So when we see him in Force Awakens, they've been separated for a really long time, so it's just like he doesn't have anyone.
It's only been like 5 years.
Yeah,
within well, 5 years.
Yeah,
still,
that's a good
that
time.
He like doesn't have to be
55 years
responsible for, so that he's like regressed to old Han because he doesn't feel like he has that connection with her anymore.
I'm really excited to talk Force Awakens next month.
That's same.
That's a fun one to dive into because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's really cute too when they're at the like one of their final conversations at the end when Han and Leia are talking and he's like, you love Luke, Han. She's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, when he comes back, I won't stand in your way. And she's like, no, it's not like that. He's my brother. And then they kiss and he like, Han has this huge smile on his face. Like you can tell the sense of relief where he's like, all right, he's not in competition. And she really does love me. Yeah. Like I'm here to stay. It's a really like sweet moment.
There's no real like will they won't they for them throughout this whole movie. The closest you get to that is the part with Han like having a little bit of an outburst on Endor.
Yeah, and that doesn't.
Him. I feel like the audience is like in the know, so they're right. Yeah. They're like relaxed.
And then he like has the realization that like you can't fuck your own brother.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love too that doesn't even sour his relationship with Luke. Like he's not like, oh fuck you, or like doesn't help him because he's like, you stole my girl. Like there's no animosity there.
And also, as far as we know, the Star Wars universe is like Pornhub and incest is fun.
But I think that's why I love that scene so much where he like starts to walk away and then comes back, because as far as he's concerned, she does love Luke and doesn't love him, but he's just being like kind of like a selfless good guy.
Yeah, where he's like, well, I care about you either way.
Yeah, of course. Although it did kind of strike me that when she's like, hold me, he does, and he's kind of like, he rolls his eyes a little bit like, ladies, am I right?
He does the same thing when like the Ewok hugs his leg. He's like, yep, okay, little guy.
Oh, I love when Tuku is like, they said we're now part of the tribe. And he's like, that's what I always wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so fucking good. And then that scene with 3PO where he's like, see if you can get us some weapons. Maybe some other supplies. Hurry up, will you?
3PO is the one character that Han is always consistent to, and he's always a dick to him.
No one asked for your opinion.
What about 3PO telling stories from the previous two movies?
The sound effects?
That was another thing that reminded me of Last Jedi. is at the end where the kids on Cantabite are talking, and that one kid is telling the story, and he's like, blah, 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 Luke Skywalker, yeah, and like making the sound effects. Like, that I also feel is an homage to Return of the Jedi, because that whole scene with 3PO telling the story.
The idea of these characters are like myths,
yeah,
in that world are so... It's such a cool idea.
And I love how childlike the Ewoks are in that scene. And they're just like,
ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And like hiding the like little baby Ewoks so and being cute. Like, oh, no.
And all those
scared.
Little sounds that 3PO makes. Like,
yeah, it's cool.
Little baby Theta. Ewoks are like the cutest thing I've ever seen.
So cool.
But far and away, one of the saddest moments in any Star Wars movie is when a couple of Ewoks die and he like goes back to get his buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
far and away.
Really, really sad.
In any of the Star Wars, almost any movie, you're like, oh my God.
Because that's one of the first times, like, people have died in Star Wars before that, but that's one of the first times that you really see, like,
it hit
grief.
Me almost as hard as Porkins.
Yeah. Yeah, Porkins
but
is heavy.
To be fair, he fed a lot of people after that.
But it's one of the first.
Only if you wanted extra crispy.
One of the essays that Ken Napsok wrote about in that Why We Live Star Wars is about the sigh that Akbar gives after that A-Wing pilot like crashes into the Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
And he kind of like it just like sighs.
He falls back into his chair, I think.
Yeah, he kind of slumps back and lets out a big sigh about like the cost of war, basically. Just like,
yeah.
Like it was like they kind of won that one, but it was like there was a cost. I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt weird about that scene last night watching it because it was like, I was just trying to process where his head's at. Like, is it that we lost one of our pilots to make this happen? Is it there are so many people on that ship and like we just killed them all and like, yeah, they're the bad guys, but like hundreds of people, you know? Yeah. Like I wasn't sure how to read that moment.
We got it, but fuck man, war is heavy.
Yeah. We didn't talk about that whole thing. 'Cause you got Lando in the Falcon with Nine Nub. And he's yeah, that was really good. But that whole space battle is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, it's cool. I love the B wing design, the A wings. But there's a lot of like new ships for this one.
Yeah, I just love it too because like they show up to like ready to attack this thing, and they're like, "Oh shit, this thing is operational and killing us."
This fully operational battle station. I'm afraid your friends will find it quite. Operational.
Very giggles away.
I
see what I did there.
I said operational and immediately farted.
You see, like his robe just kind of billow up a little bit in the back.
I think you'll soon see my favorite blaster. This one.
This is fucking absurd.
Yep. And there it goes.
Wouldn't change a thing, though.
I love the Emperor, and I'm really excited to see what role he plays in episode 9.
I think he's my favorite character. Really?
I know.
In
after,
all Star Wars?
I think
movie?
So, yeah. I've Good always liked the Emperor.
Palpatine.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
After the prequels, I was sad to see him go.
Well, Ian McDiarmid.
Did you guys know his first name? Sheev?
Oh, never mind.
Sheev
Palpatine.
Sheev.
Sheev. Sheev.
He's like, oh, I am Sheev Palpatine. Steve McQueen.
Oh, please. Steve is my brother. Call me Emperor.
Steve is my father.
Mr.
The
Emperor.
Fact that we're adding
he's
is
gold
is
member. Steve is my faja.
I've owned one Star Wars Pez my entire life, and it was Palpatine.
Yeah? Cool. You had a Pez-patine?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was it the episode 3 red robe? Pelt?
Yes, it was.
Cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I remember that Pez.
Sick, how do you feel about him
sick
just
pesky
exploding to a ball of dark energy?
I think it's hot. Why?
I think cool. It is really cool that they brought him back for this. It makes so much sense overall to the story because you forget going back and watching the prequels how central he is to those movies. And he's not really present in the first...
He's not
two original movies.
He's
yeah, that actor,
but he's obviously such a big part of Return of the Jedi, and Yeah, I mean, this is like really the first time we're introduced to him.
This is the first one that Ian McDiarmid did.
The first time that we really have the sense of like he's his master and he's the reason he turned to the dark side. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is the first time we have any kind of emotional weighting in the Emperor.
I also as it
watching Vader full on bow to someone.
Yeah, he calls him his master so many times. He probably does in Empire too. But
I love
he does.
People are literally just afraid of him. Like even in the beginning when Vader shows up and he's like, you tell that to the Emperor when he gets here. He's like, he's coming here. What?
Oh, no, we'll who do is it. That guy? Oh, yeah. That character? Is
Gerard.
That's Gerard.
Yeah,
the one who's like, I love that guy so much.
Yeah.
He is delivering every line like he's waiting to be choked out.
Yeah.
And the Emperor's coming here.
He's like, we should double our efforts.
We'll triple them. Quadruple? What's the right number?
Yeah. I don't. What's after that? Quintuple.
Can I just shout out one of my buddies right now, real quick?
Buddy,
I remember in high school, do you remember this? Like back in high school, in the summertime, you would just like sleep over your friend's house for like days in a row.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely. Yeah.
It was the fucking
DJ
best.
And I did that all the time.
I don't think I lived at my
house. We did that. Me and my buddy Nate. And my buddy Raffy used to do that. Like, we'd interchange, like, whose house it was at. But I remember listening to a conversation between my buddy Raffy and his mom as he was, like, trying to extend the sleepover multiple days.
Yeah.
And from his description, the conversation went, he's Armenian. His mom was like, but Raffy, tomorrow is Thursday, and then after that is Friday, and then Saturday is after that. And he goes, congratulations, Mom. You know the days of the week. And I remember me and Nate, even back then, were like, yikes, that is fucking cold.
our chances of staying over are slim to none now.
That's incredible.
Congratulations, you know the days of the week. My friends are staying over to get us some fucking fresh sheets, bitch.
And make us those pizza rolls, the 90 count pack.
Pizza rolls, yeah, right. His dad, Ruben, made us all you
Rubens?
Can eat.
Oh, yeah, Ruben's spaghetti.
Ruben had famous spaghetti that he would make by like cooking normal spaghetti in a pot and then literally throwing whatever spices he wanted to from the fridge.
The fridge.
Yeah, and we would always
that's
be
where
like,
everyone keeps
number one, why do you keep your spices in the fridge?
Number two, why is this paprika chips?
Why does this take different every time? And why do we all keep saying how great Ruben's spaghetti is?
Why do we call it famous?
I'm going to edit that out of this podcast.
So, no, it was great. It was great.
That was fun.
Everyone loved it.
I
already got fan mail about it.
To jump on the Emperor thing, I think it's something that's very underlooked is his actual look. It's so basic. Like, he's got a black robe, and I mean, yeah, his skin.
And
he's
a
like
scrot all, face.
Yeah, basically. But it works so well because he looks so much like a fucking bad guy.
Yeah, he
and
does.
So, that with Ian McDiarmid's voice.
Yeah,
it's fucking perfect.
I have yet to see a picture of Ian McDiarmid in that time frame because I always thought that he was always old.
He's like, same.
So he's like in his 30s back then.
Was he really?
Oh yeah.
So when the new
that makes me feel dead.
When the prequels were coming out, I was like, this guy's still fucking alive,
right? Yeah.
This guy's still old.
Yeah. Wow, what a fucking loser.
This guy's still fuckable.
Yeah. But and seeing him in Celebration, he looks exactly the same as he did in
the prequels,
and those were like 20 years ago.
Wow.
It's insane.
He is great. I do feel like
I still let him shave it in.
Shave it in.
Shave. What's up, dude?
Shave.
I love him clean shaven.
Oh,
oh God, that is disgusting.
If you can watch
I'm
any
Shavy
of...
I'm Shavy Chasen or not.
If you can watch any of the Lego things with the Emperor, like the Freemaker Adventures,
he's so funny.
Far and away the best character. The way they make him so goofy and like funny about it is the best.
He is really great. Yeah. At that.
Jared and I watched a couple of them, and he's a fucking riot.
It is so like all the his lines, like the
he's got a funny sense of humor to him.
Kinda, yeah, sure. And then also the. It is really cool to see him kind of like torture Luke and be like, you thought you guys had the drop on us?
Yeah, you know what? Last night was like one of the first times watching this, I was like, shit, the stakes are fucking high here. Like,
yeah.
It felt like Luke is cornered and is going to die in the Death Star. and the whole Rebel Alliance is going to die.
I don't think I ever processed that line before where Luke is like, soon I'll be dead and you with me or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Luke's like,
oh, he's like hoping that that's what's going to happen, that he'll kill everybody on this.
Including himself.
The Death Star, including himself. And
our boy.
Yeah, I don't think I ever put that together before, that Luke literally thought he was going to walk away from this or not walk away from this.
So I remember very, like, it's a very big memory for me seeing New Hope for the first time. With Empire and Jedi, like, I got that box set and watched those movies before they hit me, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
New Hope spoke to me when I was 7. I saw Empire Strikes Back a few times, and my significant memory is, like, the first time that it clicked with me and made, like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I'd seen it before, but then there was one significant time where I watched it and was like,
I get it.
Sucked in, like, because I was old enough to understand it for the first time. And I had the same thing with Jedi, where, like, I was sucked in enough to, like, pay attention fully to the end and was, like, blown away by it. And the final Vader, Emperor, Luke scenes are incredible.
When
I love that stuff.
They actually start to fight. I
love this Vader Luke fight.
Oh, it's great. You not only do you get to see the first, like, saber throw, which is cool. But when Luke just full on like taps into like his anger and loses it and just fucks up Vader.
I love that when he cuts his hand off.
Yeah.
Like, I also like the back and forth of like the Emperor being like, cut me down or whatever. And he's like, he looks back at him and then he like looks back at the window and then he like eventually goes back and like
does it,
pulls his lightsaber.
And he doesn't even fucking flinch and Vader's already like got him covered. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. When Luke
and Vader throws his lightsaber and the Emperor's like,
cool.
Yeah. When Luke is swinging his lightsaber at Darth Vader and like cuts off his hand and just like fucking him up. I was like,
I love that so much.
It is so badass.
It really is. He like goes full blown like, you're dead, I'm killing
you. Especially because like of the aftermath of that, like where he cuts off his hand and then he like looks at his own hand. And
I love that
like,
so much.
It's so good.
It's like right back to the Dagobah cave of like Luke's face being invaders.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, it was such bullshit when the Emperor was like, you know, kill him and like kill me and all this shit. And like, and then, you know, or like kill Darth Vader and like, you know, I know you want to kill me and come to the dark side and this and that, but like, obviously the good guy wants to kill the bad guy.
Right.
You're trying to like make it seem like if like the good guy kills the bad guy, you're fucking like,
it's like
on the dark side.
Your mission is to kill the bad guy. And then this idea of like, yeah, but if you kill me, like, is that the right thing to do?
If you kill an unarmed person, yeah.
Right. Like, and then I don't know, like, are you even the good guy anymore?
It gets back to the thing that I want to see change about Star Wars, where there's no like clear right and wrong, and the fact that he beats Vader because he gets angry, which is like a dark side trait, and he beats him and he gets to the point where he's like, oh, I need to like take my foot off the gas for a second, you know what I mean? And I love that. That's like what I want to see. I want to see a Star Wars where they're like, it is okay to harness that when it's righteous to do it. Like, it's okay to tap into your anger when you got to beat
the bad guy.
And then to be like, I'm not going to, like, let power take over my life. I'm not going to let, like, those urges or those instincts be the thing that controls me or makes me turn over to a power that's based on fear or whatever.
I think somewhere between that and I'm not going to suppress every dark emotion in me, like, I'm going to, like, acknowledge the anger.
Yeah.
Right?
I would almost love, like, a postmodern reading of that scene where it's like...
Right.
It's like, yeah, I got angry just now, but that doesn't mean I'm...
Right, a bad person.
I'm a Sith, or I'm going to, like, report to you now. It's not like I'm accepting your job offer. Like, it's like, it's just like, yeah, I just cut off Vader's hand, but I'm never joining you. I'm, like, my own thing, and
that's what he does, and it's awesome.
That scene when Luke turns off his lightsaber and is like, no,
throws
like,
it down.
I'm a Jedi like my father.
And then Vader's like, no.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
So good.
But Luke,
so perfect.
Luke turning off the lightsaber and throwing the lightsaber
my
away.
Bookie.
My bookie. Luke turning off his lightsaber and throwing it away is one of my all time favorite Star Wars moments.
It is awesome.
Does he still have it at the end?
The green one?
Yeah, he does.
He does, but because I think that's what he pulls on Kylo in the last Jedi flashback, right?
You're right.
So he must get it before he leaves.
I mean, it's not like
he throws it on the ground and starts to fall over. He like dives for it.
He's like, no,
I spent so much time.
Another one. I do want to talk for a second about the scene where Luke is like hiding underneath where like the throne is.
Yeah, yeah,
like the throne platform
where Vader's looking for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
That feels, and I don't know if it's just the time period of the 80s that it's in, but it feels almost like a slasher.
Kat, I love you so much.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to show you my notes right now, but keep talking.
Because it's Vader's the monster in the mask that's looking for the final person, and Luke is hiding, and there's that like ethical and moral pull and kind of polarity between Vader and Luke that you get with the slasher and usually the final girl. But just like the lighting and
the lighting is phenomenal.
The fact that he's in the mask and everything feels like a slasher to me.
I wrote in my notes that that scene would be such a cool like horror suspense.
Yeah.
Scene in a movie. I would fucking love that if like Vader was just walking around in the dark and Luke was like kind of hiding from him. I guess it wouldn't make sense because like, you know, to hide from your enemy wouldn't be a very Jedi-like thing to do.
Not Luke, though. Like,
yeah.
I've heard the internet talk about a movie that would be, like, a handful of Jedi in hiding that, like, escape Order 66, crash land on, like, a planet and are trapped there, and Vader finds them to, like, snuff them out.
That would be awesome.
A horror movie.
Like Alien.
Yeah.
I'd kill for that.
That would be really cool sweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, I fucking hate horror movies. I would love that.
I think it'd be so fun.
And just like him walking around with his red saber as his knife or blade or whatever, and just like having that be cool, like with the whole
like no Vader dialogue, like he's like the shark from Jaws.
Yeah, hear him breathing and you see the glow of the red of people like
the breath
hiding.
Is the Jaws theme.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
I'm getting chills. This would be the fucking coolest thing Star Wars ever did.
I would love it so much.
It literally
the other thing I love about that scene is it's like listening. It's not that Luke can't hold his own against Vader. He's like doesn't want to fight him.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool thing too. That is like that much of a pussy,
of
you know? Like he's
like
that
grow
afraid.
A fucking pair.
The fact that Jedi became generals in the Clone Wars, like that's the fault of all the Jedi. I think is choosing to fight instead of being like that's not who we are. Do you guys feel...
I like it on a personal level that he's like, this is my dad, and I want to like, turn him to the good side.
Right.
That's awesome.
One of my favorite quotes in this movie is, this is my daddy.
And, like, when he starts to take the mask off, and he's like, leave it on.
Oh, yeah, leave it on, daddy.
He's my dumb daddy.
Do you guys feel that Luke is drawn to the dark side in this movie?
Yeah, I mean, he fucking force chokes
a little bit,
right
off
the bat.
Melinda has complained a few times about, like, it's not clear enough in this movie.
I feel like that he's wearing black is enough to me to be like, you know, hinting towards it.
So they do the same thing in the prequels. Anakin goes from like beige to brown to black in the three movies. And Luke is like white to beige to black. Rey goes gray. Oh, no, like tan, gray, pure white in the new movie.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Although also we already seen that glimpse of Rey, dark side Rey.
I think that scene specifically where he cuts off Vader's hand, you can see the dark side in him a little bit.
Even when we first see Luke though with the Gamorrean guards, he like forechokes him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. But dark. I don't necessarily know that that's dark side per se. I think the scene where at the end with Vader is the first time you see him be like tempted by it, because in that scene in Jabba's palace he doesn't seem like he's out of control.
Yeah,
he just seems
angry.
Like he's just like using the force to
more
his advantage,
I guess.
But in that scene he's like he does seem like he's maybe about to lose control, and that's when he realizes like he has like a who am I moment.
Jabba's palace, you just get him being like super cocky almost. He's like, well, guess what guys, I can fucking do stuff you can't. I'm gonna kill you. He's very it's like a very overconfidence thing.
About right confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so badass that he's like, that's the last mistake you'll ever make. Like, free us or die. Like, all that type of stuff.
I don't...
How satisfying would it be for somebody to be, like, laughing at you when you say stuff like that and then you get to kill them?
So awesome. Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd be like, I have the last word.
Can't wait till I get to kill my enemies.
Can't wait.
I don't know if I necessarily feel like he's drawn to the dark side as much as he's willing to accept his negative emotions. Like, I don't foresee him, like, actually killing Vader or killing the Emperor and being like, all right, I'm going to be with you on the dark side.
Yeah, I'm the new Emperor.
I am looking forward to talking about Luke and the dark side in the context of The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Again, I think that'll be interesting.
Especially, and just the Force in general, talking about that and what that means. Because, like, I don't know. I think, what if Luke was able to kill the Emperor in that scene? I don't think he would just be like, fuck yeah, let's kill the rebels now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he would turn, even if he did it out of anger or, like, spite and maybe, like, was corrupted over the long term. And then you could take that from the other end of the spectrum. Like, what if Kylo in the new movies, like, what if he's, like, maybe the First Order's not that bad? And he's like a good leader. Like, this movie will be like the first time we've seen him lead the First Order. And maybe there's like a grayness to that too.
So that is something at Galaxy's Edge, because it takes place after Last Jedi. When Kylo comes around, all the stormtroopers address him as Supreme Leader. Hmm. Which is pretty cool.
That's cool. Huh.
And like the First Order officers.
He's maybe my favorite Star Wars character. He's so he's fucking cool. Too.
He's one of the most interesting. I cannot wait to see how his character plays out.
Same.
While we're still kind of on like the Emperor thing too, it is awesome seeing fucking Force Lightning for the first time.
Yeah, that, and you know what I was thinking when we watched this last night? This is the first time we see blaster bolts deflected by a lightsaber.
That's true.
Yeah, which they went nuts with in the prequels.
The speeder bike and stuff.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
It's cool too when you see the Force Lightning, because not having had the prequels yet, where we know that the Force Lightning, Force Lightning is why Palpatine has the scrotum face. but when he's using the Force Lightning on Luke, you do see Luke's face like kind of age a little bit.
Yeah. Get scroty.
Yeah. Scroty. Not necessarily scroty, but like it looks a little like gray, a little aged. Yeah.
And for some reason, you see Darth Vader's helmet get condensation on it, which has been weird to me for years.
Skeleton. Yeah.
Well, that too. But do you guys know what I mean? Like, I feel like his helmet looks wet after all of that.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, condensation. Who knows?
Sweating.
It's hot in there.
It looks like a glass with a cold beverage.
Yeah.
I would assume lightning would heat up the metal. Who knows? I don't know.
You think it's metal?
This suit? It's got to be
that scene is pretty fucking metal.
So metal. I'll
No! Yeah.
Could have done without that 20-minute guitar solo.
It's not walking around in plastic.
It is so dumb that they added that in.
Yeah.
The Noah's pretty dumb. I love all the stuff back on Endor. Luke, like, burning Vader's body
yeah.
in the Forest Ghosts.
Listen, I love.
We talked about the party already.
Yeah, the celebration of the party. The three Force Ghosts. Anakin. Like, they change it up.
You mean that it was stupid that they added in the no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that when he's like
That's so good.
When he's like hurting when Palpatine is like
when he picks
electrocuting you, Luke. Yeah. I think it was silent in the original, right?
There was nothing there. Yeah.
He just looks at him and he looks back and forth and then he's like
He
just picks him up.
There's like some like grunting noises, I think, but that's about it.
And then so Vader throws Palpatine into the pit and then like collapses.
I think it was supposed to be because like he was already injured from Luke, and then like picking him up.
My inhaler
he's like,
and my suit's broken. Yeah.
It was peak ragweed season.
It was on the Death Star.
So James Earl Jones does the voice for Darth Vader. Is Darth Vader physically played by the moon?
Yep, the face on the moon is under the mask.
He's physically played by a space station.
Holy shit. That's no moon.
Yeah, it's no moon. It's a space station.
Zelda liked it.
Zelda.
Zalma.
I feel like we have gotten through. We've talked about the ending already.
We got it.
Forest Ghost.
Thanks for listening.
Well,
bye.
We are only 3 months out, so we have 2 episodes left until our episode 9 episode.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I can't believe it.
episode 9 episode.
And this is our 9th episode.
This is our 9th episode.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, so next month we're going to have
the 9th month of the year.
September, yeah.
It is. Next month we're going to be talking The Force Awakens, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We're in sequel trilogy territory.
Yeah.
Sequel trilogy.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We'll loop back around to that one. But we also have Disney Plus launching mid-November.
Yeah, 12th, mm-hmm. I think.
Which will be with The Mandalorian, the first ever live-action Star Wars show. Triple Force Friday.
October 4th.
Is October 4th. So they're launching all the merchandise, like action figures, t-shirts, and stuff for The Rise of Skywalker, The Mandalorian, and Jedi Fallen Order, which is a new video game coming out mid-November as well.
So much.
Yeah, we have a lot of Star Wars content to talk about in the next couple months.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add before we wrap this up?
No.
I feel like we've gone long, but I can't tell.
Oh, no, we've...
For sure. This is the longest episode, I think, by
We've
far.
Been here
Are
for
you
about...
Serious? Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
I'm on There's rum no time, way. But I feel like last...
At least 2.5 hours.
Last episode was definitely longer.
It felt so fucking long.
I also feel like it's... Yeah. So DJ and on the way over here today, we were saying it would be cool if we could all see Rise of Skywalker on that Thursday night and not talk about it until we're sitting down here on Friday.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't want to say a single fucking word to you assholes.
Like literally just smiling and nodding at each other leaving the theater and then pour our guts out on this podcast.
Let's do that. I like that plan.
Which would be cool, but I think that would make a very long episode too.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Well,
but can I throw this out there?
It's going to be our last episode, so it should be long.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be right after
that night.
Oh, yeah.
That's a late Thursday
night. I have to work the next day.
Yeah, that sucks.
I do too, but I will call out right now.
I think it would be fun to...
Can you imagine how cool that would be, though, to walk out of that movie, get in front of a microphone, and just like, that's when you talk about it.
So actually,
Maybe we could do a short thing afterwards.
That's not going to happen. You know that's not going
to
happen.
But I feel like I do want to go to bed and do a deep dive the next day.
Okay.
My experience with watching the new movies has been, I've watched it Thursday night, I've taken the next day off of work, gone like that morning when the theater's like 7 people in there, and the second viewing is like where it's always like, fuck yeah.
When does it come out again?
The 20th. Or so, the 19th.
Thursday the 19th. It's exactly 3 months from today, the release date.
But yeah, I'm very excited. So either way, because I feel like when we do it, I'm going to be the only one that...
do.
I was waiting for it.
Grow up, Chimo, you fucking jerk.
All right, bye. All right. See you guys later.
Anyway,
bye.
So do you guys want to plug anything before we sign off?
Sure. Okay, I'll go.
Yeah, Chin.
Kat and I, we host Conquests on the Wasted Minds Network. Mm-hmm. You can find a bunch of other podcasts on there, which I'm sure one of my many co-hosts here will talk about. But check us out there.
I will just plug wasted-minds.com/store briefly. We're selling copies of Drinking Buddies, and Kat and I went to a gaming festival recently, and I just like fell back in love with that game while we were there. Like I focused on it so hard through the like Kickstarter that we did last year and all that type of stuff, and then I kind of like put it out of my mind. But having to be like,
I love that game so much,
exposed to it again, I was like, I'm really proud of this game, and I'm like really and it was the first time that I got to see like a bunch of strangers play the game, you know, and see them like really excited about it and enjoying it. I was just like, I don't know. It was really cool. Anyways, we have some copies left, so buy it.
I bring that game to parties regularly, and I feel like I said this maybe when you were out of the room earlier. When you do events like that, let me know. I'm happy to like work for free just demoing that game with people.
Thanks, man.
I've already been in situations where I'm at a party, like, teaching people how to play that game, and it's a blast.
Yeah, Jared's a teacher, so he teaches his students how to play it.
We play Drinking Buddies in class, and it's awesome.
Top 5 of Death, the podcast that I have been on for a few years. I am pretty much, I'm trying to be back for, I guess for good, but like I'm still in school, so I'm trying to be on it as much as I can. So that's all I want to plug right now is that podcast.
Okay.
Oh, this is DJ, by the way.
This is DJ. Call me back when you can. Yeah, I don't really have anything else going on besides this. This is it. I play in the Star Wars punk band, Starfighter.
Yeah,
Starfighter1138.bandcamp.com. We don't have any shows planned right now. I was trying to get a Boston area show for December, but I haven't done anything, so we got to get on that. I'll let you know.
You're making other music too, aren't you?
Yeah, but we're planning to record, I think, like September. I mean, like December, January. I don't know. I'll let you guys know.
Jared plays a lot of good music. Okay.
Working on some stuff. We'll let you know. Kat, do you have anything?
This will come out before the...
Yeah, right before.
I'm working on something with the guys over at the Make Fun Network, which is where you can find Top 5. So I guess just keep an eye out on Make Fun announcements.
Can you talk about what it is?
I don't think I can yet.
Top secret. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so fun not being able to say... Like a project you're working on, it feels so professional.
It really does, yeah.
Some people wait a lifetime.
Yeah.
For a moment like this.
I cannot wait for the day when someone's like, do you have something? And I'm like, can't talk about it.
Though. Yeah.
It's my dream.
You've seriously been embargoed on this?
I am, yeah. I can talk about it when we do the Force Awakens episode.
Signed an NDA.
Yeah. One of the hosts like accidentally gave away a show on that network that I thought was that show, but it turned out to be another show, and he like kept dropping the ball on it. So
it's a show about ball dropping?
Yeah.
It's a show about juggling. It's really weird. All right. It's not very good. It's definitely not great audio. Yeah.
We will be back in October with The Force Awakens, which I'm really excited about. And in the meantime, reach out to us on the internet, sameoldhopepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I don't know. Throw questions our way. Just let us know you're listening.
Yeah, I'd love to know, too, if people's lists are changing, or if their like orders are changing.
So mine is.
Rewatching movies. Yeah, same.
I think we could do a check-in right on the Last Jedi episode. Where we were standing before the new one.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun.
And look,
I think we should close it out with that.
After episode 9?
Yeah.
Our own ones.
It'll be hard to place 9, I think, after one viewing. But
yeah, well, too bad, dude. You got to do it. I make the rules.
Have to, though. So yeah,
yes. You are the host.
Them's the rules. Yeah. Thank you.
Also, I think maybe on the last episode, we should do kind of a send-off of like our favorite games and segments that we've done over the course of the show. So
yeah, that'd be fun. We didn't do any
fans want to tell us their favorite ones. Yeah.
This has been a long night. I don't think we had time for some games. We've been recording for 3.5 hours plus 2 days.
Well, on that note,
Chinmo's grumpy.
I'm super tired.
Grumpo. Right,
I guess I'll send you off with my impression of this movie. This is me doing the guy who's the Rancor monster caretaker.
Da-da-da! Da-da-da!
Well said.
Thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.
Bye.
Bye.